Now we're about to begin something spectacular. There's a chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 20, which is based on a very deep part of the Zohar HaKadosh, which discusses the tikkunim of the beard, the tikkunim of the heavenly beard, kaviyochel, referring to the attributes of kindness of Hashem. And that chapter in Likutei Moran, it has the incredible statement where Rabbeinu Zal makes, where he says that an Isha Yisraeli, a person cannot really be an Isha Yisraeli, which means to climb, to be constantly advancing from level to level without Eretz Yisrael. That's the chapter where Rabbeinu Zal spoke especially clearly about the importance of getting to Eretz Yisrael, and that's also the chapter where he addresses one of the greatest mysteries in the Torah, the story of Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock instead of talking to the rock. When Hashem told, the first time Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to get draw water from a rock, Hashem told him, hit the rock, if you look in the Chumash. But at a later date, there was another scenario like that, and this time Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, and instead Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and we're told that it's because of this that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen lost out on the privilege of coming to Eretz Yisrael. There's millions of questions about this. This is such a terrible atrocity, what's so bad? And Rabbeinu Zal derives incredible lessons from that story that we can apply in our daily life. We're going to have some of it here in this halacha. And this is one of maybe 10 places in Likutei Halachos where Rabbeinu Zal goes into that chapter on Likutei Moran and uses it to explain the whole topic of eating properly, etc. This is going to be a little bit of a longer halacha with incredible things. Rabbeinu Zal is going to clarify the topic of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all in this discussion. Hilchas Dvorim Hanoyagim Besuda, the laws regarding the different laws pertaining to a meal, Halacha Dalin. Uboy Yisboyer Inyan Rosh Hashanah, V'yam HaKippurim, V'aser Simei Tshuva, V'sukkos, V'arbo Aminim, V'yishan Rabo, Shmin Atzer Simchas Torah. Part of this halacha, Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify the spiritual concepts of all of these holidays, going from Rosh Hashanah through Simchas Torah. Al pi ha-Torah tisha tikkunin yakirin. And this halacha will be based on chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, which is based on the statement in the Zohar HaKadosh that there are 9 special tikkunim that are given over to the beard, to the dikna. Ayin shom kol ha-Torah me'roi shel ha-Sofer. Rav Nosson Zal says, if you want to get the real full benefit of this halacha, study that chapter in Likutei Moran from beginning to end. V'zeh b'chinas Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nosson Zal jumps right away into the topic of Rosh Hashanah. And again, he's going to come back to the topic of eating bread and a suda. Ki kol avoidosenu b'yomim hagdoshim halolu b'Rosh Hashanah v'aseres yimei tshuva v'erev yom kippur v'yomei kippurim v'sukkos v'arbo aminu ad shmini atzeres HaKol hu kedei legalos kedushas Eretz Yisrael. All of the mitzvahs that we're doing and all of the avodas Hashem that we're doing throughout that incredible holy period from Rosh Hashanah through Simchas Torah is all about revealing and broadcasting the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Kedei shenizke lovoy l'Eretz Yisrael, so that we should be zoche to get to Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is a very important point here. When Rav Nosson Zal says, Kedei shenizke lovoy l'Eretz Yisrael, oh, so he's talking about those people who are in Chutz L'Eretz. Yes, he's talking to them, and he's talking to us also. In Likutei Tfilois, there are several prayers there where Rav Nosson Zal prays to get to Eretz Yisrael. And someone once asked one of the earlier rabbis in Breslov, Reb Shmuel Shapiro Zechon Avrocha, what if I live in Eretz Yisrael? Do I skip that prayer? He said, no. You add one word. Lizkois l'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Hashem help me be zoche to achieve, to attain the holiness, the benefits of being in Eretz Yisrael. A person could be in Eretz Yisrael and chas v'shalom, they're in China, they're on the moon. If they don't believe in Hashem, if they don't believe in the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, if they don't behave like a person's supposed to behave when you're in a holy place. So again, we're trying to achieve and to come to Eretz Yisrael. We just mentioned earlier that all 10 levels of holiness in existence, the entire spectrum of holiness from A to Z is Eretz Yisrael. Shezeh Iker Kedushas Isha Yisraeli. This is the main holiness of a Jew. This is what the holiness of the Jewish nation is all about. It's directly connected to Eretz Yisrael. There's Olam Shona Nefesh. We speak about this many times, that the world we are in is defined by three categories: Olam, place; Shona, time; and Nefesh, soul, level of creation. In Olam, in the world, the holiest place in the world is Eretz Yisrael. In Shana, the holiest time of the year is Shabbos Kodesh and the holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Nefesh, the holiest soul in the world, is a human being, a Jew, a tzaddik, etc. Kimo Yishomer Rabbeinu Zal, Be'ez Shehigid Li'amoy HaTorah HaNayroanal. As Rabbeinu Zal said, when he gave this Torah to the Jewish nation, this is a very unusual way that Rabbi Nosson Zal presents this here. You know, usually he'll say, when we heard the Torah, but here Rabbi Nosson Zal wants to emphasize that Rabbeinu Zal is speaking to the entire Jewish nation in this chapter on Likut Imran. And when he gave that shir, Rabbeinu Zal made this awesome Torah Neiro, this awesome Torah, She'omaroz bozeh haloshein. Rabbeinu Zal made the following statement, and I quote, Mi sheroitz lihiois ish Yisraeli, a person who wants to be a real Jew, hainu, which means, what does that mean? Sheyelech mi darga ladarga. It means he's not stagnant. He doesn't stay in one place. He's not in park. He's constantly growing, constantly advancing. He realizes that in Judaism, there's no such thing as I'm on a certain madrega. There's no such thing. A Jew is supposed to be moving every day, every day, every minute of the day, trying to advance. Another mitzvah, understanding the Torah better, doing more mitzvahs, and doing the mitzvah with more quality in thought, in speech, in action, in our relationship with our fellow man, in all of Yiddishkeit. Rabbeinu Zal said, E-F-shir, it is impossible to achieve that, Kim al yedei Eretz Yisrael. Without Eretz Yisrael, you need the connection to Eretz Yisrael. And we've mentioned many times, for those of our close friends who are not yet living in Eretz Yisrael, when you daven Shmon Esrei and you face Eretz Yisrael, and when you think about Eretz Yisrael, and when you say Birchas Hamozon and you say Al Ha'oretz Valamozon, in all your prayers, in your Shmon Esrei, where you daven for the Uvnei Yerushalayim, you're connected. That's how those people are connecting to Eretz Yisrael. Gam Omar, in addition, Rabbeinu Zal said, Shehu Iker Kishezoiche Odom Lenatzeach HaMelchama. The best thing is when a person is zoiche to be victorious in the battle. Which battle? Lovoy Eretz Yisrael, of getting to Eretz Yisrael, coming to Eretz Yisrael, moving to Eretz Yisrael, actually coming to live in Eretz Yisrael. As these statements are written at the end of that chapter in Likut Imran. And this is the wording of Rabbeinu Zal. He quotes the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh over there, which says, Be'ilein ishtakach giber takif. It's through this, through all the things mentioned in that chapter in Likut Imran, that a person is defined as strong and powerful. What are we referring to? Rabbeinu Zal says there, Hainu kishebo lebechinas Eretz Yisrael. When a person gets to Eretz Yisrael, when a person makes that connection, the best connection they possibly can to Eretz Yisrael, Azai nikro gibor takif. Then he's called gibor. Then he's a gever. Then she is gibora. That's called strong. Ki koidem shebo lebechinas Eretz Yisrael, because Rabbeinu Zal writes there, before a person gets to the level of Eretz Yisrael, azai al yishale el choyger kemafteach. The pasuk says that a person who's putting on his belt to go out to war can't pride himself, can't say, I'm powerful. Only kemafteach. When a person returns from battle and he was victorious, he succeeded, which means kemafteach, he's opening his belt to take off his belt, to remove his weapons, that's when he's gibor. A person who's going out to battle or who hasn't completed the battle yet can't be a big shot. He's not a gibor yet. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there, Aval achar kach kishenoitzeach, but afterwards, when the person is victorious, when he's successful, and he's zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael, oz nikro ish milchama, then he's called a warrior. Ad kan l'shoinoi, these are Rabbeinu Zal's words over there in Likut Imran, in chapter 20. Any questions, please? We mentioned before the three categories of Olam, Shana, Nefesh. In Shana, it's the holidays, the holy day, Shabbos, Yontif. That's the highest part of Shana. The holiness of Olam is Eretz Yisrael. The holiness of Shana is its holy days, its holidays. And the holiness of Nefesh is the Jewish nation. Ki am kodosh ato l'Hashem alekecha. Nimtza, we see based on Rabbeinu Zal's words, She'ikr kedushas ha-Yisraeli, ve'ikr nitzochon ha-melchama, she'tzrichin lenatzeach bozeh ho'ilam, ho'ikr hu lovoi l'Eretz Yisrael. We see from here that the main holiness of a Jew and the main success in battle, we talk about a Jew in this world, the melchemes ha-yetzer, we're in a battle, we're at war with the Sitrachra, with the Yetzirahara. The main success, one of the most important successes in this battle, in this world, is to come to Eretz Yisrael. And again, it means coming to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, to make that real, real connection to Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avracha, followed the custom of the rabbis in the Gemara. When he'd get off the plane and set foot in Eretz Yisrael, he went all the way down to the ground and kissed the ground, like you kiss a pair of tefillin, like you kiss a davar shebikdusha. And he always spoke about breathing the air of Eretz Yisrael, walking four steps in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that's guaranteed Olam Haba. And when he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, he was always thinking about Eretz Yisrael and expressing his love and respect for Eretz Yisrael and supporting Eretz Yisrael. The tzedakas, the monies that he raised in those days, were all going to Eretz Yisrael, all going to support the kollel and the other functions in Eretz Yisrael, 99%. That doesn't mean that the Chas V'Shalom, the Jews in Chutz Lo'aretz should starve. If a Jew needs financial help, wherever they are in the world, we try to help. But the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch does make a distinction that the tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael is certainly on a higher level than the tzedakah of Chutz Lo'aretz. V'zeh b'chinas avodaseinu b'yomim hanayroim hakdoshim halalu. And this is also the concept behind all of the service of Hashem, all of the mitzvahs and everything that we're doing during these awesome holy days from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. Ki kedushas Eretz Yisrael mezgale b'Rosh Hashanah, because the holiness of Eretz Yisrael is revealed on Rosh Hashanah. K'may shekosel b'shevach Eretz Yisrael, as it says clearly in the Chumash, when it speaks about the praises of Eretz Yisrael, it says tamid einei Hashem alekecha bo, the eyes of Hashem are always focused on Eretz Yisrael. Me'reishis Hashanah ad achris Hashanah. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Why does it have to say that? There's an emphasis. The eyes of Hashem are focused from Rosh Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah there's a special boom of these eyes of Hashem, of the Hashkoch of Hashem. Shemishom Iker Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. And it's kaviyachol from the eyes of Hashem. That's what shines the holiness in Eretz Yisrael. As Rabbeinu Zal has a whole major chapter in Likut Imran on this, in the second half of Likut Imran, chapter 40. Nimtza, she'ikr kedusha Eretz Yisrael nizgale b'Rosh Hashanah. So we see from this that the main holiness of Eretz Yisrael is revealed on Rosh Hashanah. V'zeh b'chinas kavonas kol ha-mitzvois v'atfilos shel Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, this is the intentions, this is the intent that we're supposed to have in all the mitzvahs and prayers of Rosh Hashanah, that we're trying to connect to holiness, which means we're trying to connect to Eretz Yisrael. Kimavur b'kisvi Arizal, because the Arizal explains in his explanation of Rosh Hashanah, sheberosh Hashanah mascheles hanesira, shemenasrin b'chinas malchus, Mi Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippur. Here we need a little bit of explanation. This is a topic that Rav Nosson Zal discusses in several places throughout Likutei Halachos. The Arizal explains that just like when Hashem created Adam and Chava, one of the opinions is that they were created as Siamese twins, face to face. They were attached, completely attached, ochar ba'ochar, back to back. In that position, there was no way in the world for them to be able to live and produce children. Kaviyochel Hashem had to slice them apart to separate them, to allow them to be able to turn around and come face to face and have a yichud, a union, which would produce children, etc., etc. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain that the same thing takes place kaviyochel up in heaven, in Shamayim. In heaven also, there's kaviyochel, there's as if we could say, remember, there's nothing physical in heaven, chas v'shalom. These are spiritual concepts. But there is a concept of Hashem and the Shekhinah, Zeranpin and Malchus, male and female, kaviyochel. And at one point in the beginning, when the year starts, they're positioned back to back. Why? There are reasons for this. I don't want to go into it right now. When a person studies karate, they learn about this. When a person is fighting multiple opponents, when there are two people against 10 or 100, one of the safest ways to position themselves is back to back. Because the most important thing is, you when you're facing an enemy, you have a chance. When someone is behind you, when your back is exposed, you don't have eyes in back of your head, you're vulnerable. So if there's two people facing 10 or 1,000 opponents, if they're back to back, they move around back to back, their back is never revealed, never uncovered. That's one of the safest positions in fighting a large group of people. See, lahavdil, lahavdil. The Arizal says, and the Zohar HaKadosh, when the Sitra Achra is powerful, is very powerful, and the Kedusha is not that powerful yet, then the Kedusha has to take on this position of ochar b'ochar, back to back. It's kaviyochel, a defensive position. But then, when the time comes, when the opportunity comes, they're sliced apart, there's a nasira, a separation, so that they can turn around and be face to face, which produces, in order to produce children, in order to produce shefa, you need this face-to-face, this panim-to-panim union. So the Arizal says that on Rosh Hashanah is when this nesira, when this slicing apart begins. Shemenasrin bechinas malchus, kaviyochel Hashem, slices apart, separates the malchus, the shechina, the female, from Rosh Hashanah, and this continues from Rosh Hashanah, Ad Yom Kippur. This is a process that takes place over 10 days. V'achar kach, and after Yom Kippur, b'arbo yomim sheben Yom Kippur l'sukkos, during the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, that process continues. U'besukkos, and when the holiday of Sukkos arrives, nimshochim kol hachasodim pnimiyim u'makifin. That's when there becomes, there comes down upon us. That's when there's a union and there's a flow of chasodim, all types of chasodim from Hashem, inner chasodim and outer chasodim. Val yidei kol zeh, and through all of this, zoichin b'shmini atzeres, shenischaber kneses Yisrael, shibchinas malchus, im doido bi'avo. And after all of this, on Shmini Atzeres, the Arizal explains, is when Knesses Yisrael means the Jewish nation, Knesses Yisrael is a nickname for the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem, the female aspect. That's when the female aspect, which is the Malchus, is joined with her beloved, Im Doido, with Kudshe Barichu, with Zeranpin, with Hashem, Bi'ahava, with a deep love. The Oz who Iker Simchasim Shal Yisrael. And that's why it's on Shmini Atzer Simchas Torah. That's the real happy holiday. That's the peak. That's the grand finale, which started from Rosh Hashanah. Ayin Bekavonas, take a look in the writings of the Arizal. V'tira, and you will see. Shal Yisoid Zeh Soivivim Behoilchem Kol HaKavonas Me Rosh Hashanah Shmini Atzeres. That all of the Arizal's explanations of what's taking place from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres is all based on this foundation. Hakol Kedei livnois ulenaser bechinas malchus beshlemus. It's all about building up the malchus, which is the Shekhinah, which is the female component, building it up and slicing it, separating it from that back-to-back relationship, kedei lahachzira ponim beponim beshlemus, in order to restore that face-to-face relationship to perfection. Sheshlemus tikun zeh maschil b'Rosh Hashanah v'nigmar b'Shmini Atzeres. And the completion of this entire tikun takes place during the beginning of the year, from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. V'chol zeh hu bechinas Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Nosson Zal says, and I'm going to show you how all of this is connected to Eretz Yisrael, ki malchus hu bechinas Eretz Yisrael. Because malchus, the Shekhinah, the divine presence of Hashem, emuna, tefillah, all of these words that I'm saying now, throughout Sifrei Kabbalah and throughout Sifrei Chassidus, they are all one. Malchus, Shechina, emuna, tefillah, Eretz Yisrael, those are all Malchus, Shechina. That's all that female aspect, kaviyochel. Rabbeinu Zal in Torah Dalet quotes a pasuk, Ve'eretz miskoimam aloi, that the land established his kingdom. Malchus and Eretz go together, Eretz Yisrael. Ki Malchus hu bechinas Eretz Yisrael, shehu bechinas isho yiras Hashem, kimavur besforim. The Malchus is referred to sometimes as isho yiras Hashem, the woman of respect for Hashem, kaviyochel. That's one of the nicknames for the Malchus. The Malchus is called Isha Yiras Hashem. Yira is also Malchus, as we learned a short while ago. And that's what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael is the place of the Shekhinah. The Gemara says the Shekhinah never left the Kois HaMaravi, and again, the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, etc. By the way, the Sforim bring that if you take a look at these three words, Isha, Yiras, Hashem, the second letters spell the word Sarah. In Isha, it's the Shin. In Yiras, it's the Resh. And in Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, this Sarah, which is again one of the names of the Shekhinah. The Zohar Kodesh explains that during the time of the mothers of Klal Yisrael, that when Sarah was living, the Shekhinah was called Sarah. During the time of Rivka, the Shekhinah was called Rivka. During the time of Rachel and Leah, the Shekhinah was called Rachel Leah, kaviyochel. So again, there's a direct connection between all of these things. We're touching very slightly, very tiny on concepts of Kabbalah. Don't get scared. Don't run. Any questions, please? Oh, very good. Wow. Someone pointed out that upon leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Loretz, is another time of kissing the ground. That when a person is about to leave Eretz Yisrael, again, before I leave, just like when a person's putting away their tefillin or putting away their talis, we kiss it before putting it in the bag. A person who has to leave Eretz Yisrael before getting on the plane, before leaving the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, to kiss the ground. And interesting, my Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, whenever somebody was leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Loretz, even if they lived in Chutz Loretz, he would say, have a safe trip to Eretz Yisrael. A Jew is never, never going to America. I'm not going to America or going to England or going to Australia. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. But woman, I'm going back to America. Yeah, I'm going via America. How long am I going to be in America? A week, a year, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But you ask me, where am I going? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. That's the direction that a Jew is going in. And this is one of the highlights in Breslov, in Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim. Rabbeinu Zal put tremendous emphasis on everything that's important in Yiddishkeit, including Eretz Yisrael. There are some schools and some places where a person could be in school, a Jewish school, for years, and not hear hardly anything about Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal focused on everything that's important in Yiddishkeit, especially Eretz Yisrael, which is one of the most important elements of Yiddishkeit. Rav Moshe Burstein, Zichron Levracha, one of the giants of Breslov in the previous generation, was born and lived in Poland before World War II. And he was part of Chassidei Gur in Poland. His family was Chassidei Gur, and he was a very religious Jew, before he came to Breslov. And then at one point, a shadchan approached him when he was about 18 years old or something. They want to roll from a shidduch. And he said, what are you talking about? Because the custom at that time by many people in Poland, and including Chassidei Gur, I believe, was that at 18, the boy would leave to yeshiva. There was Navarik, was one of the most powerful Torah learning institutions in Poland at the time, the Navarik yeshivas, where people left home and they were like in Noah's Ark. They were completely immersed in Torah 24/7. So Rav Moshe's plan was to go to Yeshiva Navarik for 4 or 5 years and come back. We'll talk about Shiduchim. A short while after that episode, he found out about Breslov. He was introduced to Breslov and started learning the Breslov Sforim, and he saw how Rabbeinu Zal's attitude about marriage and learning Torah was the attitude that the Gemara expresses, that a person is supposed to get married early, young, first marry and then study Torah. Unless a person's on the Madrega of Ben Azai, if a person's a Tana like Ben Azai, if a person is positive that they are on the highest possible levels of purity and they won't have any bad thoughts or commit any sins by remaining single during those years, then maybe a person could consider, you know, waiting to get married. But for the general population, the advice is the earlier the better. A person getting married, usually the earlier the better, Bikdusha, with holiness. So a short while after that, Reb Moshe met that shadchan again and said, I've had a change of heart. I'm ready. He went from waiting 4 or 5 years to waiting 4 or 5 months because he understood the significance. In addition, he told the shadchan, one of the conditions in the girl that you're going to introduce to me is she has to be willing to live in Eretz Yisrael. And again, this is pre-World War II. Sure enough, the girl he was introduced to said she's on the same page. She also wants to get out of here, wants to get out of Poland and live in Eretz Yisrael. Sure enough, they got married, and it took over a year to get the visas, to get the permission and everything to be able to leave Poland at the time, to be able to get to Eretz Yisrael. And she gave birth to a little baby in Poland and traveled by boat to Eretz Yisrael in those days, with a little baby boy, Reb Nachman Burstein, to get to Eretz Yisrael. And they came to Eretz Yisrael with small handbags because they didn't really have anything more. And was zeicha to raise a family. Reb Moshe lived to the age of 98 years old. His yahrzeit was recently, I think it was Chaf Tes Tishrei, right after the holiday of Sukkot, 98 years old. And at his 90th birthday, the family, they had a family gathering to celebrate his 90th birthday. He had over 1,000 descendants, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, over 1,000. Ken Yirbu. And Reb Moshe said that out of all the boys in his class, he was the only one that survived, that lived. All the others that didn't leave Poland, that remained behind in Poland, none of them survived the war, Rachmana Litzlan. And it was because learning the Breslov Sforim and seeing the emphasis that Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal put on Eretz Yisrael, this is what gave him the fire, you know, to jump, to get out of Poland and to be zeicha to build such a fabulous family in Eretz Yisrael. Any questions, please?
Kol asher ani nosea le'Eretz Yisrael.
Exactly. Okay. The answer is, I believe it's in Sichos Haran, that quote, and will really make you smile. The Jewish Agency in New York City, when they were redoing their offices about 15, 20 years ago, they wanted in the lobby of their offices, the main office of the Jewish Agency in the United States of America, which is in New York City, they wanted a quote from Rabbi Nachman to put on the wall, a huge, gigantic quote across the wall in the entrance to their offices. And that's the quote that they put, where Rabbi Nachman said, wherever I go, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, right now, my feet are in Ukraine, you know, but my body and soul are in Eretz Yisrael. And in the book that they printed to encourage Jews to move to Eretz, to make Aliyah, you know, before the book, when they have like on a blank page, you know, an important quote, that's the quote that they put from Rabbeinu Zal, you know, about the incredible, this is just one of the examples of the uniqueness of this tzaddik. This tzaddik made certain statements that are global, universal, and that are a guiding light for Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem.
Practical question. When you kiss the ground, or what is considered ground? Maybe it's silly. Even you, like, right before you go on a plane, you in the airport, you kiss the ground, or before you go, or you look for the ground.
It's not a silly
maybe
question.
Maybe you saw how people
it's,
did.
It's not a silly question. It's a very valid question. During Rav Rosenfeld's time, he passed away, remember, about almost 42 years ago. His yahrzeit is going to be next week. Next Thursday night, Yud Aleph Kislev is the yahrzeit, and we're going to speak about it next week. But during his time, they didn't have, the airports didn't have what they have now, this sharvul, where you don't step on the ground from the plane, but rather you go directly from the airport, from the building of the airport, into the airplane. So you're not standing on the ground, in a sense. So the answer is, I believe it could be done anywhere. Not in that sharvul, I would say, but it could be done even in the airport itself, the building of the airport, which is also ground, or before a person enters into the airport, you know, the entrance to the airport. Either one. The most important thing is the kavanah. The kavanah that I'm kissing my tefillin. I'm kissing Hashem kaviyochel. That Eretz Yisrael is one of the most revealed, you know, expressions of the divine spirit of Hashem. And I remember many times the people, you know, the El Al, or the different people that see you when you're getting off the plane, when they see a religious Jew get down on the floor and kiss the land, it reminds them that we also have a very deep love and respect for this holy land, for Eretz Yisrael. Someone pointed out again that this is the importance of trying to do battle against all the forces in Eretz Yisrael that are trying to obstruct the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. For sure. But that's a whole topic in terms of how we go about that. There are different ways that a person goes about that. But for us, every mitzvah we do, every prayer we say, every piece of food we're shopping, we're buying food that's made in Eretz Yisrael, you know, anything we can possibly do to show respect and love for Eretz Yisrael, and especially for the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, is major. Okay, tomorrow's Erev Shabbos. Tomorrow we're going to really step into this halacha, Yetz Hashem. Looking forward.
Thank you, Rabbi Nassim. Sure. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Just another question.
Please.
I know that many people, and Rebbeinu held that Meshipu was the tzion of the Baal Shem Tov, and Meshipu had the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And many people, Mizman Hazeh, hold that Uman also has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
You reminded me. On that. Definitely. You just reminded me of a very important thing that I wanted to say. How could a Breslava read this and then walk out of Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah? That's a contradiction. Rav Nosson Zal said the whole Rosh Hashanah is Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, there's a pasuk that says, Tzadikim Yirshu Eretz. Tzadikim inherit the land. And Rabbeinu Zal and other rabbis write that this means that the place of the tzaddik has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. One of the greatest prophets, Ezra HaSofer, one of the holiest prophets who wrote Sifrei Torah, and his Sifrei Torah are incredible level of holiness. The Gemara points out that he was the one who led the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, coming back from Golos Bavel, when the Jews had been exiled from Bavel for 70 years. He was the one who led the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, but he didn't do it until his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, passed away. As the Gemara says, as long as his rabbi was living, he remained in Chutz Laretz. It was only after Baruch ben Neriah passed away that he went to Eretz Yisrael. There's a tremendous amount written. These are just small tidbits to give us an inkling of the connection with the tzaddik and Eretz Yisrael. And here again, those who go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, we believe that the place of the tzaddik, again, is the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, Rabbi Avram Sternhartz, Rabbi Avram Kochav Lev, wrote a pamphlet called Imrois Tehoirois, where he shows there from Likutei Maran that the Kaisa Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, draws its Kiddusha from the tzaddik. Remember, Eretz Yisrael is Malchus. The Tzaddik is called Yesoid. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from the Tzaddik, from the Tzaddikim. And this is why Rabbi Avraham Shternhertz had said that even those Jews living in Yerushalayim, which is the holiest city in Eretz Yisrael, his advice was to go to Miron, to go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai for Rosh Hashanah, to go to be with the Tzaddik. That wasn't detracting from the holiness of Yerushalayim or the holiness of the Kaisal Maravi, because they draw their holiness from the Tzaddik. Again, there's a lot to say about that. We'll speak about it more. There's an incredible, I just saw this recently, Reb Nachman Horedenker, who was the grandfather of Rabbeinu Zal. He was a very close student of the Baal Shem Tov, extremely close, and he wanted desperately to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he tried every which way to be able to do it, even when the Baal Shem Tov was alive. And the Baal Shem Tov didn't give him the green light. So at one point he said to the Baal Shem Tov, I really want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Can I go? So the Baal Shem Tov said, first go to the mikveh. He went to the mikveh and he did multiple dippings. And he said, and the Baal Shem Tov says, and then come back to me. So the Baal Shem Tov said to him, when you dipped in the mikveh, when you went under the water, what did you see? He said, the first time I dipped, I saw Eretz Yisrael. The second time I dipped, I saw Yerushalayim. The third time I dipped, I saw the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth time I dipped, I saw the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. But I didn't see the Holy Ark. I didn't see the Holy Ark itself. The Baal Shem Tov said to him, the Holy Ark is here in Mezhebuzh, implying that the Baal Shem Tov was the Oroin. He was the Oren. He was the Torah, the light of Torah in the world at that time. And when Reb Nachman Horedenker heard that and saw that, that's what made him decide not to leave Ukraine until after the Baal Shem Tov passed away. After the Baal Shem Tov passed away, he was one of those who led an Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael of the students of the Baal Shem Tov who went to Tveria and who are buried in Tveria today. That's one of the holy, holy sites in Tveria, the burial place of Reb Nachman Horedenker, Reb Yaakov Shamshon Shepetovka, Reb Avram Kalisker, many of the giants of that generation. Thank you for bringing that out.
Just another point. I just saw a story in the book Voices in the Silence. Under the communists, when Reb Eliyahu Chaim Rosen was living in Uman, and he knew if he put up a sukkah in Uman, he would right away be sent to Siberia. And so he went to Kiev, even to leave Uman, because there he thought he could get away with a bit more. And sure enough, he went to Kiev, and right away they were arrested, but they didn't get sent to Siberia. And even though they had to spend the rest of sukkahs in jail, it wasn't as bad as being sent to Siberia. Any comments on that?
I didn't hear that story. I'm really not familiar with it. Could be, again, the mitzvah sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And if a person thinks that they have a better chance of fulfilling that mitzvah in a certain place, they would go there. I remember, for example, Reb Moshe Burstein, Zechon Avracha, once commented about people going to Ukraine with a false passport. You know, was taking a risk of getting thrown into jail, prison. He said he would never do that because there were people that did that and ended up not being able to put on tefillin, chas v'shalom, going days without being able to put on tefillin. And he said, certainly Rabbeinu Zal would not want that. Rabbeinu Zal wouldn't want a person to come to his sin and chas v'shalom and lose out on putting on tefillin, chas v'shalom, you know, for several days. So there's a lot of issues here that need to be thought through carefully. To be continued, Mitzvah Shem. A wonderful day to all.
Thank you so much, Rav Nassim. Have a good day.
All the best.
Thank you, Rav Nassim.
Thank you, Rav Nassim.
Thank you, Rav Nassim. Talk to you.